Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So people are always wondering, you know, what's the meaning of life? What's the purpose for which we've been put here? Right? People ask that question, and it's really incredibly simple. The writer of the book of Ecclesiastes says, "Fear God and keep his commandments." This is the whole duty of humankind. It's that simple. Fear God and keep his commandments. In Bible study, we've been working through the Ten Commandments, and we have in the Ten Commandments really God's simple plan for humanity, what it means to be human, the reason we're here. And you can sum it all up in one simple word, right? What is it? How do you sum up the Ten Commandments in one word?
Love.
Thank you. Right? Love. Love God and love people. Love God above all things and love your neighbor as yourself. Right there is the meaning of life. Fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of humankind. That's the purpose for which we've been made, to be in relationship of love with God and love for our neighbor. When you look at the commandments, though, and you use it as a mirror, and we examine ourselves, not just at the superficial outward level, but at the heart level, as Jesus instructs us in the Sermon on the Mount and elsewhere, what do we discover, what do we see about our capacity to fulfill the purpose for which we've been given? Right? Are we doing it? Are we loving God as he deserves to be loved? Are we loving our neighbor as ourselves? No. Again and again and again and again, we fall short of even this kind of basic level of what it means to be a human. We don't fully live out our purpose. But there is someone who does, and he has. And that person is Jesus, right? Jesus came, and he perfectly loved his Father in heaven, and he perfectly loved his neighbor as himself. See, way back in the garden, right, Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. They were created to love him and to love one another. They were created to reflect the glory of God, the love of God in this creation. But they turned away from God, and in that fateful moment, that image of God was shattered, destroyed, lost. Yes, the scriptures still speak of people being made in the image of God. We still have little shards of reflection, little glimpses of what we were supposed to be. But that image of God in perfection is obliterated. But Jesus comes, and Paul tells us that Jesus himself is the image of the invisible God. When you look at Jesus, you see what it means to truly be human. When you look at Jesus, even though he's God in the flesh, he shows us the meaning and the purpose of life. Loving God our Father, loving neighbor as ourselves. And he has come to restore that broken and shattered image to us so that we can be what we were created to be. We see some of this in those couple of verses from 1 John 3. And notice the wonder, notice the marveling, the amazement in John's tone as he writes this, right? He says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." That is what we are. Do you hear it? How great is this love that God has lavished on us, that he's poured on us, that we should be called the children of God. We shouldn't be God's children. We were dead. We were lost. We were rebels. And yet, in Jesus, God has reconciled us, and he calls us his children. Jesus has taken all of our sins to the cross. He's died in our place. He rose from the dead, and he poured out his Spirit into our hearts, that Spirit of adoption, that Spirit of sonship, that Spirit that cries out, "Abba, Father," that Spirit that testifies, "Yes, I am God's child." And that's what John is amazed by, right? How great is this? We are the children of God. So here he celebrates kind of the beginning, that conversion, that regeneration, that new birth, that we have gone from death to life, from darkness to light, from being lost to found, from being rebels to being children of God. Where does he go with that? He continues, he says, the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Right? Have you experienced that? We don't always fit in as children of God in this world. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes we rub against the world and we feel like we're out of place. We're out of position. We don't like that, but there's a reason for it. Paul tells us that we are citizens not of here, but of another place. Citizens of heaven. And John says, the reason the world doesn't know us, the reason we don't always fit quite in, is because they didn't know him. They didn't know Jesus either. And he keeps going. Dear friends, and he repeats it, right? Now we are the children of God. But he looks ahead. He looks ahead to that future day, and he says, what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he, Jesus, appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So he's looking ahead to that future day. He celebrates who we are right now. God has made us. God has declared us to be his children. But he looks ahead to this future day. He says, what we will be on that last day, we don't fully grasp. We don't fully understand. It's still a mystery that we're waiting for, that we're longing for, that we're hoping for. But we know this. When Jesus appears, we will be like him. That's where we're headed on that day. We'll be like him. We'll see him as he is. And on that final day, we finally, fully will be like Jesus. So John has for us kind of like bookends here in these short verses, right? The bookend of being brought to faith, of being alive, of being born again, of being children of God. But then he's also got the other side of where we're headed. The fullness of glory, the fullness of looking like Jesus. And now everyone who has the Spirit of God knows we're in between that now, right? And that in-between spot is really uncomfortable. It's tense. There's an awkwardness to it. Because on the one hand, we are God's children. It's a fact. It's a reality for us. Because of what Jesus has done and because the Spirit he's given us, received by faith. And yet, we're not fully yet all that we were created to be. We struggle every single day. Everyone knows we have this sinful flesh that tries to rise up and take charge again. And it's a tension, a war inside of us between what God has declared us to be, what we will be in the end of days, but yet what we are in our flesh still lacking. So right here in this in-between time of tension, this is where we are. What's happening? What's happening to us between the time when we are born anew and when Jesus comes and fulfills all that he wants for us? What happens right now? Well, this is this thing called sanctification, right? It is a process by which we are made holy, by which we are made to be more and more like Jesus. A few passages in the New Testament help us to grab hold of this. A few different ways that mostly Paul here, we'll see, writes about this and helps us to understand this. Paul writes to the Galatians, and he says this, Galatians 4. He says, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. So Paul is writing to the Galatians, people who knew the grace of God, but often were prone to wander from it. And he says, I, Paul, am like a woman experiencing this agony of childbirth because I'm working towards Christ being formed in you. So that's one of the ways the New Testament speaks of it. Jesus being shaped and formed within us so that he will burst out. So that when people look at us, what they see is Jesus. right? Christ being formed in us. When Paul writes about this to the Ephesians, though, he talks about maturity and growth. He talks about the offices given to the church to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up until we reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So that's the goal. That's where we're headed. That's what God is doing among us right now. The church, all doing its parts so that we are maturing and growing into the fullness of Christ. Here he says it a little further on. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will, in all things, grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined, held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So here we have this picture of a body growing to maturity. That's what the church, that's what we're experiencing right now. This growing, this developing, this maturing into the fullness of Christ. Here's another one from 2 Corinthians. Here's the image of God language. We with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So here he speaks of it as this transformation process so that more and more and more we look like Jesus. We're made in his image. And here's the last one I'm going to share with you. We know this passage pretty well. This is the one we all float around when things get really hard, in times of suffering, in times of pain. Romans 8:28, right? And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We like to share that verse when bad stuff happens to remind us that God is working good out of it. But what is the good that he's working out of it? It's not the good that I have in my mind. It's good according to God's plan. And we find that out in the very next verse. It's up there on the screen. The good that God is working through the midst of our trial, in the midst of our times of suffering, is this. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. The good that God works sometimes in the midst of suffering and hardship is to conform us to the likeness of his Son, Jesus. It's to mold us. It's to shape us so that we will look more and more like Jesus. So there's a bunch of passages getting at the same thing, that in this meantime, what God is up to is he's working with us to fulfill our purpose, to love God, to love people, to reflect, to image who Jesus is, to become more and more and more like him. How does that happen? How does that happen? We've heard hints of it here. The church does its job, and we speak truth to one another in love. That's part of the growth process, right? Part of the growth process. It's centered in this word. This is where we grow. Paul says in Romans 12:2 that we are not to be conformed to the world, right? Because he's already said God is working to conform us to the image of his Son. We're not to be conformed to the world, but we're to be transformed through the renewing of our mind, right? And that happens here. When this word is read, when this word is preached, when we read it and we meditate on it and we chew on it, right? Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So here's where the growth starts, right? It starts as we read his word and we study his word. But we can't just kind of leave it and just read it, but we also then need to then start practicing it and living it out. What this looks like is like lots of different ways that we learn stuff, right? You go to school and you study and you study and you study, and then you get out into life and you take what you've learned and you apply it to practical life situations, right? I see some young parents out here, and young parents, you get all of these whole plethora of parenting books, right? And you read them and you read them and you read them because you're scared and you have no idea what to do. And you read all these books and then the child comes. And you're like, right? This is better. This is better than all those parenting books because they're coming from all different angles. This is truth and this is solid, right? So you don't want to throw this aside like some of those parenting books. What we do in this situation, we take this that we've been reading, that we've been studying, that we've been memorizing, and we take it with us into those real life experiences, and then we begin to live it out, right? Because if you just read this and then don't do what it says, it's no good to you, right? Part of this process of becoming more and more like Jesus is listening to him and then having him come with us and then doing what he says in regular life. As a wife, as a child, as a student, as a neighbor, as a citizen. Right? So that's one of the pictures of how this works. Famous theologian talked about it this way, though. He said, there's parts that we do. There's prayer. There's meditation, like we've been talking about. But then there's a third thing that makes us disciples, that makes us people who look like Jesus. Prayer, meditation, and then this famous theologian threw in testing. Testing. Prayer, meditation, and testing. So as you take this, you pray, God, make me like Jesus. You meditate on his word so that you get his mind and you know what he desires and you begin to... But then testing comes. The world presses in on you. Difficulties come in. That's the Romans 8:28. The bad stuff happens in life. And God, though, says, I'm working good through it. That testing comes and it shapes us, it molds us, it refines us, and it makes us look more and more like Jesus. Remember what Jesus said when he's inviting people to follow him as disciples? A disciple is, again, one who is an apprentice who looks to the master and is trying to be like the master. Jesus said, whoever would come after me, whoever would be my disciple, he must take up his cross and follow me. See, nobody picks their cross, right? You don't choose that. You don't choose your testing. It just kind of comes at you. Your cross is assigned to you. And Jesus says, if you're going to be my disciple, when that cross comes, you are going to pick it up and you're going to carry it. And when you do that, guess who you look like? You look like me, he says. That's when you're my disciple. When the testing comes, when the trials come, and we are forced to rely on our Father, that's when he refines us and shapes us and molds us. Prayer, meditation, testing. There's another picture in the Bible to help us get at what we're experiencing right now. And that's that of a potter and the clay, right? That shows up in the scriptures a few different times. God is the potter and we're the clay. Have you ever watched somebody do that whole clay thing? They've got their wheel and they're spinning the clay and they've got this lump of clay and they're forming it. They're spinning it around and maybe they're trying to make it into a bowl. They don't like the way it's going and they go blap. Right, and they knock that thing right back down again, and they start over, and they start molding and shaping and molding and shaping, and this part's a little bent, and they've got to press it in, and they've got to squeeze it, and sometimes they go blap again, knock it back down, and then start to mold it back up again, and sometimes they get a tool, right, like a sharp knife. And they take that and they're spinning it around and they're taking that knife and they're carving into the side of that clay. And you got little shreds of clay kind of peeling off and falling off and shredding and working it and pressing it and molding it and peeling and carving until he gets this beautiful piece of art that he's been working on. That the scriptures give us that picture for what God is up to with us right here and right now. And yes, that process can be painful. The testing, that the trials that God uses to work the good of crafting us to be like Jesus, that can be a painful process. But you see what God is up to. You see the good that he's doing. He's refining us and helping us to be who we are made to be. people who love God and love our neighbors just like Jesus. So that's where we are right now. Part of it's up to us, right? The diligent study and the learning and the listening to Jesus and the watching Jesus and seeing how he lives and how he functions and the walking with him into life and taking what he's taught us and putting it into practice and then sometimes falling flat on our faces and needing to go back and learn again and study again and going out and then struggling and trying. It's not sanctification. This process isn't just this nice, steady increase, right? It's not like you're just kind of climbing a ladder and a ladder and a ladder until one day you've got it. Sometimes you're going up the ladder and then there's a rung missing and boom, you go right back down again. And you have to go right back to the cross and right back to the gospel for forgiveness and correction and instruction and life. And we're praying for the Spirit and we're learning and we go out again and we try and Jesus is with us and he's working with us and he's shaping us and bringing sins in to test us and try us and he shapes us and molds us and we look more and more and more like him. That's where we are right now. And that's a good thing. God's doing good things with us. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have brought us from death to life. From darkness to light, that while we were lost, we are now found, that when we were rebels, we are now your children, and there's a place for us in your kingdom and your family. Lord, we long for the day when we will be 100% whole, that we will really, truly look like Jesus all the time for eternity. In the meantime, we thank you that you're not done with us, that you're still working with us, shaping us, molding us, crafting your work, making us more like Jesus. So, Father, have your way with us. Give us hearts that are open to your instruction. Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus and to walk and to live like Jesus, loving you and loving our neighbor. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.